This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The very best day.
ESPN 97.5.
Set no substitutes.
Vasquez, beaten away by Buffon. And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Romelu Chiesa now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Paterica! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. We appreciate you tuning in tonight to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And we appreciate John and his firm being the presenting sponsor of this show. It's DaspitLaw.com. I mean, this is an amazing night. My producer, Andrew Carlson, he is back.
It's a minor miracle, Glenn.
He is back. They've been grabbing at him right. You know, it's like picking up a ball in midfield. You get pressure from the right, the left, behind, the front. They're trying to steal him. We've got him back here tonight. The team with Victor Ariza in company, all intact here tonight. So we are pumped. Now, we got a great show tonight. Houston Dynamo manager Todd Ramos will join us later in the show. He's going to get us up to date on a number of things, including Albert Elise, Darwin Quintero. I can assure you, nothing serious wrong there. But he will talk to us about preseason, how it's put together, things they focus on. And he will also talk about what to expect in Tucson when it comes to minutes for players. That might begin to help you crystallize to see what's going on in the mind of a manager. This is what makes it exciting. Dynamo will open at the end of the month against the LA Galaxy and Chicharito. HoustonDynamo.com. For your tickets. Now, tonight I'm excited to talk the world game. I got to tell you, 713-780-3776 throughout the show. Is there ever a day that is not a day that we can't talk great stories in the world of football globally? Our game that impacts humanity on a larger scale around the globe. Streaming at ESPN975.com. Hit me up during the show, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, or Facebook, Soccer Matters. All right. It's a lot of things going on. First segment here, we're gonna focus a little bit on the European side of things. Jurgen Klinsmann is out at Hertha Berlin. Segment two, we'll talk the Dynamo, MLS, an interesting tweet by FC Dallas that has gained them a lot of connection around the country, a lot of PR, which was yanked. We'll talk about that. For promoting Chicharito and Vela and Pulido as a ticket package. It was quickly taken down. Well, it wasn't really quickly taken down because it took about 12 hours to take it down. There's been all kinds of reaction to it, both pro and con. Why would you be promoting Chicharito, Carlos Vela, and Pulido? Well, there's a real simple answer to that, because you got a lot of empty seats at your games, and attendance is a problem. But people have looked at it from a number of different ways. Earl Barrett played for Aston Villa. In fact, he was there at the very beginning of the Premier League. Came upon Earl here in Houston, which is great to know because he's the assistant boys DA director at the Rise Soccer Club. Earl is going to be in studio here tonight. He's also a part of an Oldham Athletic team that gained promotion. Played for Everton from 95 to 98, 74 times. Three caps for England. Really excited about having Earl in studio as well. And then tonight, we'll also finish it up. We'll talk some Development Academy stuff with Paul Holliker, who there's no doubt about it now, has a wonderful working relationship with Tom Ramos with his connection to the youth game and the under 20 national team. And don't forget, Tom Ramos has coached every age level. Little kids, right on up. And you have to love that because coaching different age levels, I can attest to, take different things, are demanding in different ways, and they are a great way to round yourself as a coach. It you know, obviously you do things differently with 6-year-olds than you do with 12-year-olds than you do with 17-year-olds. But we're going to talk with Paul also about the fact that we've got going on down at the Houston Sports Park this weekend, the Generation Adidas Regionals, Friday, Saturday, and Monday. A couple of former teammates of mine from the Houston Dynamos coming in to take part as they're a part of development academies, including one from LAFC, Tal Saldana. So really, really looking forward to that. We'll talk some CBA, MLS, and MLSPA covering 5 years. A couple of the quick hits here on this. A $1.9 billion total spend, free agencies reduced to 24 years of age and 5 years of service, which essentially doubles the players eligible now to become free agents in MLS. That's a big piece. $55 million in new performance bonuses. Minimum salary now is $100,000. Look at how long it took to get there. First ever revenue share of future TV money. We'll see where the TV contracts go in the future. Elimination of the cap on the number of free agents per team and contract mechanisms that prevent players from reaching free agency eligibility. Here's another one. Mandatory charter flights by 2024, 16. This year it'll be 8. So the Dynamo will take 4 chartered flight matches, and they're going to have to decide which one of those they'll want it to be. So there'll be some improved benefits. But in general, increased budgets for player salaries. Last year it was $8.4 million. By 2024, it will go up to $11.6 million. And again, we go back to that minimum salary of $100,000. What this means is that you know, the money ball idea of running a team is going to get tested here. You're going to have to spend to keep up with the Joneses in this league, and it will become more evident going towards 2024, and I'm sure GMs and sporting directors are all on top of this right now. All right. Start with the Milan Derby tonight, 713-780-3776. This was memorable, and it was what the Serie A needed. You turned this game on, and you would have thought that you were watching a World Cup game. 75,000 fans, Tifos, tens of millions around the world watching AC Milan and Inter Milan. Inter tied on points with Juventus now. Just an amazing first half for AC Milan. Rebic in the 40th after Zlatan Ibrahimovic climbed over Diego Godin to knock down the header. And by the way, if you ever want to be reminded that the use of your arms is important when you go up in the air, watch Zlatan Ibrahimovic on that play. Okay, he gets his arms above the shoulders of people that are going up with him. And it essentially deflects him from being able to jump well. And then Zlatan scored himself on a header. So 2-0 at halftime. Inter with the comeback under Antonio Conte. Brozovic in the 51st, Bacino in the 53rd. It's now 2-2. They would then take a 3-2 lead. They would go up 3-2. And the game ultimately ends 4-2. But just a remarkable Milan derby. At 3-2, guess what? Zlatan Ibrahimovic hit the post. Or it would have been 3-3, and then a stoppage time goal is scored in that one. But absolutely stunning game. 56% possession to Milan. Lukaku got the fourth for Inter. 16 shots for Inter, 7 on goal. Milan had 17, 2 on goal. Alexis Sanchez played, you former Arsenal fans of his. Him and Lukaku did not work well off each other in the first 45 minutes. But it was an epic Inter comeback. So it's four straight in the derby for Inter Milan for the first time since 1983. One of the best stories in the Premier League, Sheffield United. They have rose to fifth place in the Premier League. 2-1 comeback victory over Bournemouth. It was the only game that took place. 54% of the possession, the 3-5-2. The Blades continue to push for a Champions League place. They are now right behind Chelsea. Bournemouth went up in the 13th. Equalizer from Billy Sharp. 84th minute game winner from Jan Lundstrom. And then it was subs, actually. Musette to Lundstrom for the game winner. Here's Chris Wilder, the manager of Sheffield United, after that match.
There's no let up from us. There's no comfortable footballers in our changing room. They've always got something to prove. Lundstrom coming off the bench, prime example. Fantastic attitude. You know, he couldn't have done anything more in the last two substitute appearances for his team to try and gain the points that we've gained. And there's a whole load of them boys that are desperate to get into the team.
He then talks about comebacks and what the club is about, comebacks.
I think it'd be really, you know, naive of us as a football club to think that every game is going to be a game that's dominated by us. Love to have started well, of course. You know, we set up to start well. We didn't, but I'm more interested in that recovery, that character that we show to turn a losing position into a winning position. I think that just shows what my group of players are about and what my club is about.
Yeah, don't lie to me. You don't even know who Chris Wilder is, some of you out there. Well, you know now who he is. Fifth place. It's been a remarkable run for Sheffield United. People tip them to get relegated right away. They've made five transfers. Each time they transfer and purchase a new player, it breaks a transfer fee record for the club. And they do have, I believe, a Saudi prince now that is involved in the ownership of the team. So they're making it happen, the Blades, on and off the field. All right, Bayern Munich against Red Bull Leipzig. This had an MLS flair to it, a battle of top teams in the Bundesliga. It ended 0-0. I thought it was a great game. It was intriguing to me, especially because Alphonso Davies for Bayern Munich was playing on the left side and was, for a lot of the match, going up against Tyler Adams. Now, if you watch that game, this was the whole Greg Berhalter U.S. national team role that he wanted for Tyler Adams. And essentially, yes, he's a right back, but he goes into midfield, and he sometimes comes central and creates overloads. And in fact, at times, was all the way on the other side of the field. So if you watched how Adams played in this game, you see what Greg Berhalter was trying to do with him in relation to the U.S. national team. So that was interesting. Robert Lewandowski, Timo Werner, both had chances to deliver. They didn't. But man, we got a race in the Bundesliga, huh? Andrew, this is a good race. I mean, it's the best race in Europe. Bayern, Leipzig, Dortmund, Mönchengladbach. I mean, they're all in it. Hansi Flick, the coach of Bayern, saying 0-0 was the right result. Bayern pushed in the first 25 minutes. You thought they were going to score if you were watching this game. It's hard to believe they didn't, quite frankly. But then, with confidence, Leipzig grew into the game. Only the second shutout of the year for Leipzig. But to see two young MLS players in there in very big roles, Alphonso Davies was penetrating down the left side three, four times beautifully. It was dangerous. Cut balls back across the face of goal. Pretty remarkable. No question about it. So Bayern and Red Bull 0-0. That was the way it went. Leipzig did, in my estimation, force Bayern to play a little bit more direct and with less of a build-up game. U.S. women defeated Canada to win CONCACAF. Hey, newsflash. U.S. dominate CONCACAF. The gap, the void, is clear of everyone. Even Canada, who remains the main competitor. They were game. But if we're being real, one half of football doesn't do it against the U.S. women. The gap between the rest of the teams in CONCACAF still just beyond belief how big of a gap it is. And there is some subtle improvements. We've seen it from Haiti. We've seen it from Haiti. We've seen it from some of the other nations in CONCACAF. But if you're Canada right now, you just mentally must be saying to yourself, we just cannot get it done against the United States. Both teams are off to the Olympics in Tokyo this summer. Did not draw well here in Houston. I don't know if anybody has anything to say about that. It's as if it never was here. You know, where were all the female soccer fans for the U.S. women's national team in Houston? I mean, you know, I called a game, I think, at Legion Field in Alabama once, 55,000 people for U.S. against Haiti. Haiti had to find players in the U.S. It ended 8 or 9-0, but 55,000 people still came out. So there you go. Vlatko Andonovski getting the job done. And, you know, if it's CONCACAF, you got to think about local federations and FIFA supporting the women's game better. Advantage BMW, get down there. Say hello to my friends at Advantage BMW. Go down and see Justin. I love the drive of the BMW. They are great sponsors of soccer in this town. So if you're a soccer fan and you're buying a BMW, you get it at Advantage BMW Midtown. The reason? Their service, customer service, second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown. They'll cover you with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. So get that hometown advantage, Advantage BMW. Philip, Justin, go down and see him. Advantage BMW Midtown. And, of course, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, coming up, as we take you to break with Shattered by the Rolling Stones, got a real treat. Earl Barrett played for Aston Villa, Oldham Athletic, Everton. Played in the very first year of the Premier League. Earl will join me for two segments now. He's also involved in youth coaching here in Houston. Assistant Boys DA Director at the Rise Soccer Club. Really excited about this interview coming up. Earl Barrett. Shattered.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Chance for Alexis Sanchez. Flag stays down. Missed.
Oh, is it? It's Dante! This is unbelievable!
Six corner,
that's a goal!
3-2 Inter! The tournament is complete! Stefan De Vrij!
Four straight from Inter after Milan had a 2-0 lead at halftime. Brozovic, Vecino, De Vrij, and then Lukaku. Now, just remember, at 3-2, Zlatan Ibrahimovic hit the post. And Lukaku got his in stoppage time. By the way, this music is the legendary Dick Dale. We've seen him in Houston at the Continental Club. Let me tell you, rest in peace, Dick Dale. He was a special guy, but man, what a sound this guy had with a guitar. Very, very different. Pleased now to bring in, and this is all courtesy of John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery you might work in, you got to have representation. John and his firm are going to cover you. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Make sure you get that representation. And I say it every time on this show, but we're not on the air without John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So just remember that as listeners to this program, because it's important. John and his firm get us on the air, ably supported by Advantage BMW Midtown and Hugh O'Connors. All right, that was a mouthful. Now, our guest. This is a man that played for Man City, Oldham Athletic, Aston Villa, Everton. Listen to these names. Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday. Was a part of the beginning, 27 years ago, of the Premier League in 1992, believe it or not, February this month. 27 years ago. He is Earl Barrett. He is currently living, working in Houston as the assistant boys DA director at the Rise Soccer Club. Earl, I am so pumped you were in here tonight. Good evening. Got two segments with a Premier League legend.
Yeah, 27 years, that makes me feel really old.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I'm older than you, so you're not the oldest guy in the room. I guess I want to talk this first segment with you about your career. And if there's any Aston Villa fans out there, and I know the Space City Lions are out there, 713-780-3776. First influence in the game growing up in England?
First influence in the game? Wow. My first influence as a person is my father. And he kind of taught me tried to teach me the right way of doing things and the right way of dealing with people and respect and so on and so forth. And then from there, my first look at kind of professional football in a way was one of my coaches, Tony Buck. And he really...
Famous name.
He really... this is when I was at Manchester City as a 15-year-old. He really... and Glyn Pardo was part of that team as well. They really... enabled me to understand what was required to become a professional soccer player, as you say over here, and what it would take to develop and get better as a young player.
Talking to Earl Barrett, played for Aston Villa. Right now, talking about his career at City. Now, you got loaned, correct me if I'm wrong here, to Chester City, right?
That's right. Yes.
And you're a teenager. Are you a full-time pro at this point?
Not quite.
You're not quite a full-time pro, but you help Chester City gain promotion, which, you know, that's the world is gaining promotion in the English setup at the time. That's got to be pretty remarkable. That has to be something that was a platform.
It was an unbelievable platform. And, I'm a young kid. I'm quite happy in the Manchester City reserves. Every now and then I get a time in the first team at Manchester City, and then I get this thrust upon me. We want you to give you an opportunity to go on loan to Chester City, who were in the then fourth division, and I was a little bit anxious, to say the least. But it was one of the best things I've ever done because it kind of, as you say, it gave me a platform to build from, really. And yeah, you know, you play in the reserves team league. Pontins League, I think it was called then, I played so many games and kind of I was playing and just playing and playing, and I didn't see where I was going with the games. And then this come along, and although I was really kind of scared and nervous, and I took the opportunity to do that, and they sent me there, and I had a great time. And it was soccer that meant something, and it meant that, you know, these guys who I was playing alongside, they depended on winning games to get their bonuses, and because they got mouths to feed.
And you're a teenager.
And I'm a teenager. I've not got those responsibilities.
You're in a man's world.
Yeah, I'm not got those responsibilities, but they have, and it really meant something. And I think, you know, experiencing that, and it was, you know, fourth division, so it was at the time the lowest division in the professional league. It was fantastic, and it really did give me a platform to go on to do more, really.
And you go to Oldham Athletic. We're talking to Earl Barrett. He was mainly a right back. He did play a little bit as a center back as well.
Yes.
Has the right back position changed through your eyes now in the modern game?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think mostly these days it's about attacking, and you know, when the game's moved on, and it should be about that as well. But I also think it should be about defending, because it is the right back is predominantly a defender, And yes, I wasn't gifted in my attacking prowess, but I'd like to think I was a pretty good defender, and that's what, you know, in those days, that's what it was about, you know, strictly defending. And if you could get forward and contribute, then you could get forward and contribute. But yeah, the game's changed so much; it's quicker, and certainly, you know, defenders, outside backs, they are expected to get forward and attack and cross and even score goals at times.
So I guarantee you're sitting at home sometimes going, this guy can't defend, even though we know he's beautiful going forward. I hear a lot of, you know, a lot of times we'll go, can he defend? It doesn't even look like.
Obviously,
he can
there is that. These are, you know, these players are gifted. You know, let's not forget they are talented players, and even the best defenders can't defend at the wrong times, really. But even the best defenders can't defend, and you come up against Messi and Ronaldo and those types of players. you're going to look like you can't defend. So so that happens, you know. And I think, but you know, as long as I think defenders have a good idea about defending, more often than not, they'll defend in the right way.
All right. So we have an Aston Villa supporters group in Houston. I think it's Space City Lions, and I think we've had them on the show before. Your time at Aston Villa, 92 to 95, 116 appearances, a goal. I don't know if those numbers are right, but all we know is you played well over 100 games.
Yeah.
What were those times like? And that was the beginning of the Premier League in 92, right? So did things mentally change for people when they said, okay, we got the Premier League now? Did you see visible change, or was it just a dressed up first division of English soccer?
So things don't happen overnight. You know, and people, you know, people talk to me, oh, you become a professional soccer player. What was it like? How did it happen? Did it happen overnight? I said, no, it doesn't happen overnight. There's a lot of hard work that goes on before that. And so the Premier League was something that happened. Okay. Now, along with that, I was kind of rising in the game. So, and it kind of happened hand in hand, I suppose. And, you know, at that time, I've just been signed by Aston Villa. The Premier League happens. So I was building a reputation besides the Premier League. I was building my own reputation. And, you know, fortunately for me, managers and coaches gave me the opportunity to play higher and play higher and play higher and challenge myself. And with that, I managed to get into the Young England teams. And then when I was at the end of my career at Oldham, but then I got transferred to Aston Villa. Now, Villa was something else, because I remember one of the first games I played for Villa. We played Wimbledon, and Dylan Atkinson, God rest his soul, he basically dribbled from the halfway line and scored a goal. And you know, that's one of the, probably the only times I've kind of mouth open got, you know, said to myself, wow,
yeah,
this is the big league. Because, and I look back, and no disrespect to the players at Oldham, but nobody could do that at Oldham with the skill, the speed, the strength, and the calmness to score from that, you know, dribbling from the halfway line and just slot the ball in the back of the net. And that's really when I knew, right, this is big time. I better. But my kind of idea towards that was not that, oh, I've arrived. It was that I better improve. I better develop, because I've got to stop people like Dylan Atkinson.
Yeah,
you know, so that's kind of my attitude towards that.
It seems, looking at your career and listening to you talk about it, and we're talking to Earl Barrett here, who started his career at Manchester City, went on to Aston Villa. We're at that stage of his career right now, between 92 and 95. It just seems like, you know, the right things happen and your progression worked out beautifully, which doesn't always happen to people, but it just seems like each step was timed right. You got the right amount of experience at this club. Okay, perfect, right move now for Earl.
Yeah, it did seem that way. And you know, not to forget that when I was at Manchester City, we used to play, we had the reserves, but you also had an A and a B team for the youth team. And what you had with that is we used to play semi-professional teams. So we're 16, 17 years old. Against we're men. Playing open-age, yeah, semi-professional teams.
Yeah.
And we used to get our butts kicked, to be
and
quite
some
honest.
Hard guys.
But, again, it just gave us that, yeah, that idea that, you know, we're not all of that, because we're big Manchester City. We've got a little bit to learn. And these pros, who were semi-professional, but they could play. And they could dig as well. They were strong boys, strong guys, men, I should say. And so that again, that's made us understand and develop from there, and you know, and learn from there. And then obviously went to from Manchester City, went to Oldham Athletic, where again, you know, I went from a first division team to a second division team, but I was playing in the first team at Oldham, and again, it was kind of right. You're from a boy one day, and a man the next,
mm-hmm,
sort it out kind of thing. It was, here you go, go on, if you think you're good enough. And it was kind of that, really. And it was kind of just, although it was incremental, it was, yeah, you're in the big, you're playing against men now, you're playing league soccer now, you're in second division, you got to stop people playing, you got to make sure you develop, make sure you improve, and make sure you play well for this first team.
All right, so with Oldham Athletic, you play in a 90 Cup final. It's Nottingham Forest, the famed manager, Brian Clough. What do you remember about that day?
tough game, blazing hot, as cup finals usually are. And I remember the goal to this day. I'm one of these players, I don't know why, but some, I don't remember a lot about games, but I remember this goal. And I remember Nigel Jemson. I was playing centre-back at the time, and the ball got played up to Nigel Jemson. I thought I could out-jump him. However, he jumped, I jumped, he flicked the ball on, and he landed before me. He's landed and kind of sprint past me. I've landed, I couldn't catch him, and he got the return ball and scored, basically. So I kind of, you know, like, pinched myself and kicked myself that I wasn't able to do a better job there, because obviously they beat us 1-0 and we lost the game. However, for a second division team to beat a lot of first division teams on the way, on the road to Wembley, was a magnificent feat for us.
Remarkable that you were there.
Yeah, and you know, we were, as a team, we were just a fantastic team, a second division team, but we're a fantastic team. And at the time, you know, confidence is everything, and we thought we could beat anybody on the day.
We're talking to Earl Barrett. He was a right back, center back, had an outstanding career in England, and fortunately, he's a part of our soccer community here in Houston now, teaching young players at Rise, and he is the assistant boys DA director there at Rise Soccer Club, which many of us remember used to be the Express. It was started over there in West University. Your first cap, you get it against New Zealand in New Zealand. What is it like to put on now? I knew you were a youth international, but now you're putting on the full senior jersey for England, the Three Lions. You're representing your country. I mean, this has to be a magical moment.
It was a magical moment. And, you know, me caps were all friendlies. However, there were, you know, great moments. And you know, as I say, everything was incremental for me. You know, before then, I was in what England used to do. Excuse me. Was that they'd get the squads together, but they'd always have two, maybe three players sitting in the stand. So they'd take them away. Say you go to Norway or something, you take them away. The two or three extra players, just in case they get sickness, any kind of illness or something like that, would have players in the stand who could go and so for a few squads, I was one of those players. So excuse me. Obviously, you don't get put on the team sheet until you're required. So right. I was one of those players. However, that gave me kind of an insight into how things work in England, and just made me feel a little bit more at home when it did come to that time when I was going to play the game against New Zealand. And so, you know, me going onto the grass against New Zealand, I was nervous, yes. But you know, I've always been nervous with every game. I feel nerves is part of a sporting performance, and I took nerves as me caring as opposed to me not being able to perform because of the nerves, you know. So I thought, you know, nerves was a positive thing for me.
Stick around for another segment, talk some player development.
Absolutely.
All right, we're talking to Earl Barrett here. This is wonderful. Former Premier League player, all these clubs, Aston Villa, Everton, Oldham Athletic, Man City. He's in studio tonight. When we come back, we're going to talk player development here with Earl. And again, we remind you, this show is brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorneys. John and his firm bring you a personalized approach. Oh, by the way, John and his firm, also the presenting sponsor of our show up in Austin on Thursdays at 8 o'clock. That's DaspitLawAustin.com. But right here in Houston, DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Any type of accident, they can represent you. They will cover you. They will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. You need representation, get it from John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, proud sponsor of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break. More to come.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, even Andrew Carlson's bobbing the head in there to the Beastie Boys. No sleep till Brooklyn. These guys, when they busted on the scene. Yeah, you like this, don't you?
Absolutely, man. It's good music.
Yeah, you got to love it. We mix the music up. The music is a big deal. We've had the Gio Ciamba in here in studio. We're going to have some more bands in because I love music. And you know what? When it's your show, you can put on whatever music you want. But I'll take suggestions from anybody. If you had your choice, Earl, what music would you want right now? Your song. Your song.
My song.
And don't tell me Jerry and the Pacemakers.
Dear, you're putting me right on the spot.
That's a very tough question.
I do like John Legend.
Yeah, yeah. Who doesn't?
My wife does as well. I like a lot of different kinds of music. You put me really on the spot there. Post Malone.
Hmm.
LMA. That's enough for them.
Genre. What's your favorite genre?
So it's, 90s.
Yeah. 90s was a good time.
Yeah,
to, wow.
90s soul, yeah.
Everybody bashes on the 80s, but man, everybody's playing 80s music all the time. So I don't. 80s was actually cool because you had disco breaking out. You had punk, which was anti-disco. You still had the legendary Zeppelins and the Stones going. You had reggae coming on the scene with Marley and Tosh. I mean, it was a remarkable time. All right, quick word here for Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center. 18 TVs, big screen. That's the home of the Houston Liverpool supporters group. They're having good times out there. That's all I can tell you. They are having good times right now based on the run that they're on. Earl, I'm not sure you would want me to talk a lot about Liverpool, but I'm sure you've got a great Liverpool story from my friends at Liverpool. We're visiting with Earl Barrett, who played for Aston Villa. Got a good Liverpool story?
Not really. I was more of an Everton side, so... don't really talk about Liverpool, but now what we'll say.
You were in Merseyside derbies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take us into one of those.
Oh,
the intensity,
incredible. But again, you know, I think, you know, like I said previously, I think those moments are moments you want, because they, you know, they develop you more as a player. You know, it's not just about the notoriety of the game, the derby of the game. It's about how the game plays out and how you manage that moment, because you know those games they're hyped up all week. It's not just on the day, they're hyped up all week, and you know you're in the derby, so then you have to manage your levels, basically, and you know you and you got to make sure you don't get overhyped for the game so that you can perform. And you know, we've seen, you know, a few players in my time where they've overhyped themselves and they've come off
playing poorly.
And they don't play well. So I think you're just managing those moments, and until you're in that kind of moment, it's very difficult to kind of replicate it or explain it. But you know magnificent times playing against, you know, Liverpool. On occasion we beat them. More often than not it was a draw. Occasion that they beat us. So, but at the moment, Liverpool are just, I just don't see them getting beat.
Yeah,
I mean, they are unbelievable. They really are. And you know, I try and look every week and think, oh, they're going to get beat this week. No, there's just no chance. They just look, even when they're losing, even when it's the last 5 minutes, they just look like scoring every single attack. You know, and
they seem to get stronger in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I just think sometimes Klopp's done an amazing job. But I also think sometimes if you have the right blend of players, you know, off the bench as well, and they just fit with each other, you just can't lose, and that's what Liverpool are proving at the moment.
Remarkable. Earl Barrett in studio here, former player with Aston Villa, Everton, as you just mentioned. So I want to take you back to what you just said, because you talked about people getting overhyped and just too over the top that they don't perform the way that you would want. And you're working with youth players now with the Rise Soccer Club. And how do you talk to them about, you know, maintaining emotional control? Because that's always an issue with young soccer players.
Yeah, it's an issue. I don't think anybody's, any of the players have overhyped themselves in what I've seen. But I think what you want to do is make sure that every session, is a hype session, if you like. So every session is the same. So it's you know, every session means everything. It means everything to that player. It means everything to the players. And so I want to try and create an environment where it's just competitive, and it means everything. So that when they get into a game, it's kind of it's the same thing. It's the same environment, and they want to win. And I think that's important for the kids to understand. And I, you know, as regards them in games, I've never really come to a situation where I've saw one of the players and I thought, oh, he's overhyping himself. It's never really been that moment. More often than that, they kind of rabbit in headlights more than they've overhyped the kind of game. And when they get rabbit in headlights, you got to try and talk to them and calm them down. And then what you do is you put them on the field. And I mean, you look at it before you actually play the game. Obviously, you do the warm up and all the time you're evaluating the players. So evaluation of the players is a thing you do every time you see them. What state of mind are they in? Is he concentrating? Is he not concentrating? What's he doing? What's on his home life? What's he doing at school? And so you're always evaluating them, how their state of mind. So no different than on the match day. You're looking at the players. You look at how they've come in. Are they ready for it? Are they not ready? Do I need to talk to them in a strong manner to get them ready? Whether it's individuals or whether it's the whole team. And when you're doing the warm up and you're doing your little runs, I'm evaluating them all the time, and I want to make sure that the minds are on the game.
Talking to Earl Barrett, not only was a Premier League player, it's an incredible resume you have here. Played with Aston Villa, Everton. We mentioned that before. Assistant boys DA director, so working heavily with youth. You know, we get the rap here in America. Oh, the kids are soft. It's pay for play. Is that a big problem? And how do you see that in the context of the way that you grew up with the game in England? Because it is very different.
So in the way I grew up, it was...
That's not an easy question either. No, you thought the rock and roll question was a tough one. This is even tougher.
So I've got an answer for you. I'm going to go around the house a little bit. But when I grew up in England, it was just me, my brother and my father. He brought us up, and it seemed like we had to fight for everything. I remember when I was playing Sunday League soccer, and I'd asked my father for some money to get the bus to get to the soccer, and even that was a fight because he'd go, "Oh, I can't afford this," and blah blah, but he'd always give me the money. Mm-hmm. So everything's you kind of fighting to get it,
yeah.
but you know, I got it. And went, that made me value,
appreciate it more.
That appreciate that money that he gave me, and then it made me appreciate the soccer when I got to it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you move that further on now, and I want the players to. When we talk about winning, as development inverted mm-hmm. commas, I believe in winning. But winning to me is about winning my battle. The game's the game, and ideally you want to win the game, but as long as that individual wins the battle, and the battle doesn't mean that you win the war, it just means you win the battle. So for argument's sake, I'm playing against you, for argument's sake, and you kick me butt. Winning, and every time I play you kick me butt, and you throw me on the floor, and every time... Now, winning and the first few times, I kind of shy away from it. But then I talk to the coach, and the coach says, "You got to do this. It's good for you," and blah, blah. And then the next few times, you still kick me butt. But the next few times, I look at you face to face, and I go, "Go on then, let's go."
Mm-hmm.
That's success. So, so I find success in that. So I'm looking for success, not just about winning the game. That helps, but also winning your personal battle, winning a situation that that you might not want to face or that you find really challenging. So I'm looking for players to do that and progress by doing that. And that's how I try to work. I just try to work in, and I thought, well, every day I'm going to try and get a little bit better than I was yesterday, and then see where that takes me. But I always believe that I could do that. I always believe that I could get just a little bit better than I was yesterday. And that just kept me going and took me further.
Talking to Earl Barrett, Rise Soccer Club here in Houston, also a former Premier League player. So I was involved in running a club called the Hurricanes. It was before, I wouldn't say it was totally different, but a lot of the club at that time was kids from the same neighborhood, and there was real value in that because they're still friends today. They go to games together. They're lawyers, doctors, pharmaceutical reps. They have kids. There is something to the local nature of being with a bunch of guys, getting to know them, this being your team. And I know that maybe is a little bit missing now because, you know, you guys are a mammoth soccer club, right? I mean, it's you, Eclipse, Texans came together. It's Rise now.
Yeah.
It's a mammoth soccer club. How do you keep the personal touch involved with it?
It is, but then I think, you know, we've got to, you know, soccer, inverted commas, is a mammoth thing. And you look at all the teams. All the teams are not just one. They've not just got one nation in their team. It's multicultural. Okay, and I think all the teams you look around the world are like that, and then it's same. It's just same with amateur clubs as well, like ourselves. We, you know, there's lots of different players from different avenues, different areas, different neighborhoods, and that's the beauty of sport. It's about bringing people together, and to do that is a wonderful thing. Now, yes, the next thing is to get them together and make sure they work together, and we try and develop that.
I didn't mean to rush you there, Earl, but when this director of mine says we're on a hard break, we got to get it done. Listen, Earl, I thank you so much for coming in. We got to have you come in more because we only barely scratched the surface on the youth stuff.
Absolutely.
All right.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Earl Barrett. Played with Oldham Athletic, Aston Villa, Everton, Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday, 3 caps for England. And guess what? He's a part of our Houston soccer community. He's been here 3 years working with Rise Soccer Club as one of the DA directors. We really thank Earl for coming in. We'll take a break. Break brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm.